Welcome back to the RMD podcast from Reverse Mortgage Daily, hosted by me, RMD editor Chris Clow. In this show, we speak with reverse mortgage business leaders, professionals, government officials, and thought leaders to provide listeners with the pulse of the reverse mortgage industry and all of the business and regulatory realities which affect it. In this episode, I'm joined by Alec Hansen, the Chief Marketing Officer at loanDepot, to discuss the opportunity that multi-channel lender sees in the reverse mortgage space and some of the realities of trying to market the product. While there are certainly strengths for reverse mortgages, including demographics and home equity levels, there are also headwinds, reputational challenges and strict regulation, as well as isolated availability to a protected class. How do these things interact with the marketing side? What works best when trying to market reverse mortgages? We touch on these topics and a whole lot more. Hope you enjoy it. Alec, thank you so much for taking the time to join me on the RMD podcast. Really appreciate you taking the time.
Heck yeah, Chris. Nice to talk to you, buddy.
Yeah, likewise. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself and your role at loanDepot, particularly as it relates to reverse mortgages right now, because you guys have a dedicated reverse division. You guys have a lot of pretty high-profile industry members that work for the company, but I'm not sure how much our audience may have interacted with you. So tell us about yourself.
Yeah, so I currently serve as the Chief Marketing Officer for loanDepot. I've been a part of Team loanDepot for coming up on like 13 years, so a long time, serving in a lot of different roles, predominantly sales-centric roles before the CMO role, but now as Chief Marketing Officer, you know, obviously reverse and all the initiatives we have kind of fall up into my world. So,
yeah, absolutely. Well, the reverse mortgage business has been on a bit of a roller coaster. Not that the forward mortgage business hasn't, but
no, I know. You're all just wee.
Yeah, right. Hands up, right? I covered some recent moves that loanDepot has made in sort of further embedding itself into the reverse space. So I'm curious, from your perspective, especially as the CMO, what do you make of the reverse mortgage product itself, and how does it factor into the things that loanDepot has going on?
Well, one of loanDepot's emerging priorities as we are adapting to this new market and as we're really tapping into kind of what our core values are is really thematically coming out to be serving underserved communities. And, you know, the reverse and the older adult community that would benefit from a product like this is 100% aligned to that kind of vision and ethos. And so, you know, we're really doing our best to start to get the word out and educate and provide resources for people in that space, because as you probably know, and the reverse community in mortgage definitely knows, you know, it's a very misunderstood product. It's a very incredible tool for the right person in the right time in their life. And, you know, finding those things and finding the convergence of education and timing for people is really our priority to kind of align that up.
Sure. Is there anything you could speak to just about where the renewed interest in the product category came from? Is it just that it really does end up aligning with the desire to serve the specific demographic, or what was the source of this sort of resurgence for loanDepot in the reverse space?
Well, let me frame it up this way. You know, loanDepot, since I've worked here, has always been a company that wants to do great in the areas it's in. You know, there's never a theme of we're settling here. And at the same time, I kind of want to taper that with the comment that markets are also very distracting, and the realities that come at us are also very distracting. And so if you look at, I'll say, pre-COVID, you know, our drive towards reverse has been on the same type of intensity as, let's say, renovation lending. I mean, we've been the number one renovation lender now for about 3-4 years running. And that tenacity we've targeted at reverse as well. And then, you know, enter COVID, where all of a sudden we just get awash with these waves of loans like everybody did in our industry. And, you know, all of a sudden now we're resource constrained. We're trying to figure out how to deal with the customer influx and serve the customers that are in our lap. And like many organizations, I'm sure you had to prioritize time and effort on what was the greatest good. And so it kind of derailed a lot of initiatives, not necessarily just reverse, but just a lot of things that we were trying to lean into. And so as we've, you know, normalized through this down cycle, and I'm not saying we're through it, I'm just saying we're just kind of settling back into a more normal, you know, reality. Again, it's like, you know, all cylinders firing towards the areas we want to be great in.
Yeah, I think a lot of people in our audience would certainly be able to understand that perspective, because you know, going through the sort of boom and bust that we've seen over the last couple of years, they've had to reacclimate and in some cases do more with less. So I think that makes a lot of sense. What about the future? How do you think loanDepot is planning on leveraging the reverse product category through the final months of the year and into 2024 and beyond?
I mean, first, let's just start with kind of a worldview that I have, and there's lots of people at loanDepot that share this, but the reverse product as it stands today is an amazing tool in the hands of the right people. So being very clear, like it provides unbelievable opportunity for families and individuals who are in certain places in their life where this tool can come in and provide significant lift and quality of life improvement for those adults. And so in my opinion, like, picture this for a second, Chris. Like, we have a very robust contact center, call center organization, and a very robust retail organization. And in both of those platforms, there are declines that happen in lending, sadly, that, you know, people are coming in and they're in certain phases of life and they need something. It's cash, or they can't get it based on, you know, the credit profile they have. But a reverse mortgage comes at solving those credit profiles from an entirely different direction. And so just from the sheer number of people who can't get a traditional forward mortgage, you know, we're equipped to support people at scale on getting their needs met in a potentially a reverse mortgage. And so it really fits into our whole finding solutions for customers across the spectrum. You know, we've recently rolled out our own HELOC product. Our personal loans are back out. You know, these are broad spectrum tools to fit unique needs. I have a huge history as an originator. And I spent 8 years in a lot of my sales leadership in origination and sales leadership. And having the diverse toolkit to provide options for the biggest variety you can is a massive differentiator in the market for a salesperson. And so, you know, today you have people, especially as rates come down, who are going to be finally looking to move out of their house because they're not going to abandon their 3% rate, but they might move later. And maybe looking at a reverse for purchase is probably a good option, but you got to have this toolkit of options that can really provide somebody. So I think for us, it's really about rounding out the offering and serving those places that traditional banks are going to shy away from, and they're not going to provide resources in that avenue, and really being able to kind of support those people in those areas.
You know, you bring up an interesting point, especially because of your history as an originator, and you may or may not be aware of this, but there's sort of a talking point that reemerges in the reverse space every once in a while about hiring dedicated reverse mortgage professionals or converting forward mortgage professionals to take reverse business on. What's loanDepot's approach? Can you speak to that at all?
Yeah, absolutely. So I don't want to say we're a jack of all trades, but we believe that some originators, if they want to expand their experience into reverse and they want to diversify their ability to offer solutions, we have that solution here. So they can come in, they can get certified through our process. We have Lisa Moriello, who I know you know, subject matter experts to help them if they have issues. So they can enhance their ability to produce here by kind of hybridizing and finding new solutions, or they can hand it off in a referral type strategy to dedicated specialists who can pick up the deal and just own it and really love it. And at the same time, like, I love niche specialists in reverse because some people just have a heart for it. And they're just like, this matters to me. This is changing lives. This is impacting people. And so they choose to go all in on it. And that's an incredible space here too. So we try to kind of have an open playing field for people, but we also want to make sure we have enough support to provide anybody. If I just want to be dangerous enough that I could refer it, like, with enough confidence that it's going to get done, or, hey, I want to up my game here. I want to become better. I want to know this product. You know, I'm going to get certified and sell it myself.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah. An internal certification program does seem to be the path of choice for some, but not all. So I think that should be pretty interesting to originators out there in particular who are maybe looking for a place to hang their hat. Well, in terms of marketing, when it comes to trying to position the reverse mortgage in the minds of prospective borrowers, what kinds of considerations do you need to have when deciding how to market it? Because, I mean, I imagine that there's a lot of different and competing realities, priorities, requirements, whether from the business or from external factors. How does that all come together when you figure out how to market this?
Well, I think to start with the simple comment, because simple doesn't mean easy, but simple is there's a lack of education and knowledge around what this product can do and who should use it. And if I'm honest, there's a stigma on it still, as it's been misused in the past and not necessarily as structured as it is now. So you're kind of coming at it with both those things. Plus, I think there's the, and part of that stigma is a little bit of like, I'm going to get taken advantage of, or I'm failing, I'm not paying my bills, or the bank's going to take my house, and all these misconceptions. So from a simplistic standpoint, it really comes down to, how are we going to educate this to the community that needs the education? How are we going to find them? How are we going to empower? So we have multiple strategies. So I think, you know, Loan Depot has an incredible distributed retail strategy with loan officers in communities. Empowering those loan officers to go bring it to their local community in a way to meet the people where they're at the community centers, at those areas where they can find their friends and family that may need it. I mean, that's a huge marketing strategy for us, is empowering the local talent. And then secondarily, you know, we talked a little bit about this before we went live, but you've got social media and direct mail. And social media is also emerging dramatically with older adults. I mean, it's the joke now is that like Facebook's for older adults and like Instagram's for like the next gen, and then TikTok's for the one down. And like, but the reality is that I don't care what age you are, you can start looking this up and researching it, but everyone's getting into social more and more. I mean, the trend is just like rocket ship up. So finding out how to get on those platforms, strategically advertise, educate with open hands, not gatekeeping, giving people information that empowers them to make great decisions, whether it's with Loan Depot or on their own. And sometimes too, it's about educating the kids. You know, so it's about educating the older, you know, the adult children, if you'll call them that, because sometimes those are collaborative decisions happening about what to do with grandma's house and grandpa's house. And so I think that figuring out how to position that with direct mail, social, and local talent, bringing it into the community, is kind of our go-to-market strategy. Well, and then Chris, you know, I mentioned this, but we do a lot. We have so many inbound contacts and leads and business we're working that can't get a traditional loan, and it's retargeting them or repositioning the conversation with them to say, hey, you wanted this, it doesn't work, but there's solutions here.
In terms of the divide, because you talk about like the retail sort of hitting the bricks and shaking hands and talking to people where they are, as well as what you could probably argue, at least in some segments, is an emerging trend with something like social media. Would you say that maybe retail marketing is taking the lead in the reverse mortgage approach right now, or is it maybe more evenly split? What would you say?
I think it's a combo. I mean, I always consider it kind of two sides of the same coin. You know, the efforts of our local team in communicating this stuff and the efforts of our digital strategies to communicate this stuff, it's all going to the same person who's sitting across, hopefully, from one of my people in a Starbucks. So, you know, if we can give them some education on the platforms they're hanging out on and then give them someone they can meet and talk to and, you know, press the flesh and really, you know, feel like there's somebody who cares and is there, I think there's a multi-pronged approach.
So the social aspect then just kind of feeds into retail, since you guys are in so many different communities.
Yeah, I mean, I think they work hand in hand. I think they complement each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Well, as you, I'm sure, are very well aware, the reverse mortgage, particularly on the FHA-backed side of things, is a highly regulated financial product. What kinds of regulatory realities govern what you can do in terms of reverse mortgage marketing, and how do those challenges play into your planning?
You know, I'll tell you that staying compliant is extremely important, because it's just the dumbest reason to get self-injure your own organization. At the same time, though, it can be overwhelming. And what I mean for a consumer, and what I mean by that is, like, if you've taken a look at the disclaimers that you got to put on these things, like, immediately I look at that and I'm like, wow, this looks terrible and confusing. And if I'm a customer, I see a wall of text at the bottom of any of this stuff, and I'm like, what does this even mean? I feel like I'm being taken advantage of. If you have to put this many disclaimers on something, what are you not telling me? And the truth is, we're telling you everything, but we have to stay compliant. So there's a really core balance in building trust in the reverse community and for people that are reverse eligible. And I think that's only really going to be accomplished through consistency, meaning the more we stay front and center with education and the more we stay committed to communicating how these strategies can benefit families, then the more that, you know, someone will finally maybe read the disclaimers, realize that we're not trying to hide anything from them. These are government mandated requirements, and we'll keep, you know, I'll say it a different way too, Chris. All that regulation is actually helping consumers in the reverse space. I mean, I really believe the way reverse has been retooled today is far superior to where the guide rails were on previous reverse loans back in the old days. And so I think they're better situated for consumers today than ever before. And so some of it is just saying, hey, these realities of governance and compliance are here to help you, and here's how they help you. And that's going to be kind of our strategy going forward.
Something that I don't know if I've ever really had the chance to ask anybody else before, and you know, maybe this isn't even something that enters into the equation all that much for you, but how do you gather market research for reverse mortgages?
Well, we have great data sources that can pull in what kind of mortgages people are getting. So we can look across the United States and we can see who's getting VA, FHA, conventional, jumbo, and reverse mortgages, and where they are in the world and how they're getting them and who's providing them. So we kind of have a competitive intel and a landscape to know what's going on. But the real magic is understanding the population that doesn't know what they don't know. Everyone getting a reverse mortgage figured out that they could get a reverse mortgage. It's all the people who aren't that do qualify, because as we talked about earlier, it's a radically different qualification process than a conventional forward mortgage. And so there's a lot of people that are muscling through traditional financing when a reverse mortgage is better. And there is really no way to understand what that market share could look like because they're getting normal loans. So that I think is the opportunity and kind of the art under the science of how do we really find what should be the right population of people getting reverse loans. And I think that's what we need to attack.
Sure, yeah. I've heard more than a few lamentations over the years of originators wondering why a 70-year-old is getting into a new 30-year fixed. You know, it's...
Well, and especially if you know, their lifestyle is being subsidized by their children who are... It's like, these are the questions, though, that these professional mortgage, you know, amazing people ask and they uncover. And they just aren't, you know, they aren't the transactional mortgage people who are like, okay, well, this is the best loan I can give you versus, hold on, let me ask some more questions how to help you out. But you're totally nailing it, Chris. Like, there's a huge population there.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Well, based on the work that you and your team have done, what do you find is most effective in terms of outreach and getting the potential utility of a reverse mortgage across to a prospective borrower?
It's going to start with empowering local professionals. And let me just stay there for a minute. I'll speak a little bit callously, and I don't mean this, but I think a lot of mortgage originators don't even bring reverse into their mind when they get approached with a transaction.
I would be very surprised if anyone listening to this disagreed with that.
I'm like trying not to crap on people, but I'm like, you're not thinking about it, right? Like, so number one is they're not asking great questions. They're not thinking about it. And that's because we get wired down the line as an originator to just go with what we know. But what I'll challenge any listener who's a mortgage professional to understand, especially in a market like this, your ability to differentiate yourself with product knowledge and resources and depth outside of conventional loans into reno and reverse specifically are going to dramatically change your ability to serve people in your marketplace. So I think they're not thinking about it. And so one of the biggest initiatives we have is how do we continue to educate and bring this up and top of mind it, because there are people who are telling customers, hey, I don't have a loan for you, when there absolutely is a loan for them. And they're just not going down that line. So I think that's number one. Number two would be kind of what we hit on earlier, Chris, which is leveraging social as an education platform. You know, sometimes some of these questions are uncomfortable. And it's like, I'm struggling making my payment. I'm feeling all these self-worth issues. I'm having to ask for money from my children, my adult children, or whatever the circumstance is that you can imagine. It's uncomfortable. You're in a position, you're vulnerable. And sometimes you just want to seek information on your own from the safety of your own keyboard, where you can kind of just gather stuff without having to put yourself out there for somebody else to judge you / provide you, you know, solutions. And so I think social is going to play a key role in that, where people can start seeing things and go, wait a minute, tell me more. Let me YouTube this some more. Let me watch some more of this. Let me get more, you know, I dump YouTube and social, but let me get more information. And I think that's another incredible avenue for us to continue to leverage, is just let's give it to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Well, you brought up direct mail a little bit earlier, and I wanted to touch on that just because, for the sake of argument, Direct mail is kind of old media. It's static. It's kind of a blunt instrument, but it seems that the industry has quite a reliance on it. How effective is it really? And is it something that you foresee the industry using in perpetuity?
So let me answer it this way, Chris. How many spam emails do you get a day?
Oh, God.
Is the answer, right? Like, and so, and it's not, so, you know, and honestly, I'll say this, you know, the older I get, the more I'm getting, because I'm exposed to more things. I put my email more places. And so I just view this as, the older I get, the more my emails are going to be worthless and overwhelming and not helpful. And then
you turn 35 and all of a sudden you're getting life insurance quotes, or in the case of my wife, for some reason, when she turned 33, she started getting mail from AARP. Anyway, continue.
So, and then you cross, like, let's just even make this even more personal. Let's say you and I are friends and I send you an email. That's one thing. You get it. You look at it. Let's say you and I are friends and I send you a note in the mail. You're going to be like, what the hell is this, Alec? Like, what are you sending me? I think there's absolutely place for the physical still. Now, do we all get junk mail? Of course we do too. I see it as well. But I really think there's going to be a place for the physical marketing that'll continue to be relevant. But it's going to take creativity in what you send somebody that can help break through the noise of just, you know, all the junk that also shows up there. And, you know, I'm speaking more towards like QR codes made a dramatic reemergence in COVID land. Like I was laughing. It's a dead technology. It's gone. And then COVID came back in. It's like QR codes are back.
Yeah.
but like now imagine, you know, postcards that show up that have QR codes, that have engaging educational video content that someone can immediately like look at their phone. And now they're on a journey of understanding. Whereas traditional postcards are like, hey, call me. You could be eligible for this. And it's like, well, you know, but now we can give them something else to. So I think it's going to continue to play a significant role, but it has to be done well. And so I guess that's my best answer to that.
Yeah, no, it's a very good one. Thank you. I hadn't really considered the combination of old and new media with like a QR code that goes to something that's more dynamic, maybe personalized. And
yeah, you're getting it. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, it's a good point. Does the reverse mortgage business represent a growth opportunity for loanDepot, or is it more just about adding holistic options to a suite of products? Because I often hear on earnings calls at other public mortgage companies, for instance, they look at the customer for life mentality as something that has a lot of inherent value. What's loanDepot's approach?
Yeah, I mean, look, we want to serve people. We want to serve as many people as we can. I mean, that's overly simplistic, but I mean, a lot of mortgage companies would probably say that. And so when you put reverse into the mix and you realize that we have this large aging population, that we have the most equity that's ever built up in the history of the United States that, as a trend happening, you kind of realize that there's a convergence of moments that are occurring that are kind of unique and that provide themselves with an opportunity for growth. And so I do think we're going to see reverse emerge powerfully as a tool to manage a lot of this wealth and a lot of these households with aging adults. But that's only going to happen if we do our stinking job and we help them get educated so that they don't just not even think about it and make other decisions. You know, it's one of those things where if we're doing our job, that everyone should be making the most educated decision that's best for them. And if that's selling, that's selling the house. If that's refinancing or cash outing, great. If that's HELOCs or personal loans, great. If that's a reverse, fantastic. But if you don't have all the education for all the different things, I don't know how you make the best decision for yourself.
Sure. Yeah. Well, if you had a chance to speak directly to our audience of, you know, loan originators, brokers, underwriters, executives, government officials in some cases, what do you think our audience of reverse mortgage industry professionals should most know about the work that you and loanDepot are doing to expand the product's availability? Because distribution is a critical concern for the business. There's been talk for years of growing the pie instead of just dividing up a smaller pie. What's your position?
You know, so if I'm talking to originators and then even more specifically reverse-centric originators, you know, my commentary is get excited. You know, get excited to talk about an incredible product that meets an incredible need. and get loud. And I know that that's kind of, you know, hard, and the market's hard, and so it's really hard to get loud when you're feeling like the weight of the world's on your shoulders. But someone has to educate our communities about the options that are available to them. And nobody is better than you, the originator, and the local pro who's connected to all the people around you to be that voice. And so get excited about what this product can do. Get vocal, get on social, get on video, talk about it, explain it, don't shut up about it. Keep demystifying it, because that's what's going to change the narrative here.
Excellent. Well said. Well, Alec, is there anything I missed that we didn't touch on that you think our audience should know about, either, you know, the company or its activity in the reverse space?
You know, I guess, Chris, I'll just say this as kind of like a summary, you know, statement. I think reverse is here to stay in a significant way. I think it needs to emerge from a kind of a niche product to kind of a core solution in the lending, you know, spectrum. Because forever, we always talk, you know, you got conventional, you got FHA, you got VA, and it's kind of like that's the kind of deal. And then jumbo is kind of, you know, 10-15% of the entire US. But reverse is dynamic and powerful. And I think we need to continue to put it in with the main conversation about what are the solutions that really help people. Because as soon as we do that, now we open up a whole new conversation, a whole new world, and we can finally get reverse out of the, you know, put baby in the corner, out of the corner, and into kind of the real conversations about solutions that help people.
Excellent. Well, Alec, thank you once again for taking the time to join me today on the RMD podcast. Really appreciate you coming on and looking forward to sharing your insights with our audience.
Thanks, brother. Have a great day.
You too.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the RMD Podcast. Again, I want to extend a special thanks to Alec Hansen for being so generous with his time in talking about the realities of marketing the reverse mortgage product and discussing the outlook for the future. For more news and insights on the reverse mortgage industry, be sure to subscribe to our daily newsletter at reversemortgagedaily.com. If you haven't already, subscribe to the RMD Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast content. I'm Chris Clow, and this has been a production of HW Media. The RMD Podcast is produced by Elissa Branch. Be sure to come back for an all-new episode very soon. See you next time.